This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.
As a responsible person with growing concerns for your privacy and personal liberty, you want to know where we're headed and what you can do about it. We ask the experts what you need to do to take prudent and responsible action to safeguard your family's wealth and well-being, and what basic first steps will help you to be aware and prepared. ReluctantPreppers.com.
Welcome back, Reluctant Preppers. We're always glad to have this distinguished returning guest, David Morgan, founder of themorganreport.com and author of The Silver Manifesto, is here with us again on Reluctant Preppers. David, thank you for joining us.
Well, it's my pleasure as well. Thank you.
We were speaking just before we started here that you just returned from the Red Pill Expo organized by G. Edward Griffin and others. Could you give us a quick rundown of what you have taken away as maybe the most memorable or impactful insights that you gained at the Red Pill Expo this time?
Certainly. It's my first time. The first one was in Bozeman, Montana last year. I did not attend, but this one was in Spokane where I live. And I attended as an exhibitor. And several to note, of course, Ed himself, he came out and, you know, he's 86 and he certainly doesn't look it or act it. And as Pat Woods, a friend of mine from the local area who's now in Arizona, introduced Ed, he said that, that Ed just could be, you know, retired sipping tea in his rose garden, but no, he chooses to keep up the fight. So I thought those were important words for everyone to hear. Ed came out, basically said thank you very much and started the whole thing going. So I'd say number one, Robert Kiyosaki. I spent a brief moment or two with Robert, and then I heard his presentation. I've never heard Robert Kiyosaki live. So that was a bit of a thrill. And I guess the biggest takeaway from that would be that he uses debt to a great deal, he uses the credit system, mostly for real estate purchases, right. But he saves most of his profit. Well, my words, most. He implied most, but he didn't say the word most, but he saves his profits in gold and silver. And he gave an example of a profit he had made years and years ago when, it could have had $50 in gold or $50 bill. And he said he bought $50 of gold. And that $50 bill today, 25 years later, would hardly be worth the value, but the gold still is holding the value. So enough said there. Representative Matt Shea, I can't say enough about Matt. I got to speak to him personally at the event, and I've met him. And I used to actually be at a meeting here in Spokane where he was usually in attendance on a monthly basis. The people that held that meeting have moved out of my area. They're in Idaho now, but look him up. If you don't know, he's one of the few constitutional conservatives, and I just can't say enough about this guy as far as, having the will to stand up, tell the truth, and do what's right, regardless of the amount of flack that he gets. I'd say one of the bigger ones that was impacting was Del Bigtree. Bigtree produced the Vax movie, which I've seen here in Spokane at one of the more offbeat theaters, you might say. And it very much impacted me. And so he talked about the movie and, what can be done and gave us all the facts. I mean, you can't look at that situation and look at the objective truths without being very, very upset what's mm-hmm. going on. Larry Pratt, no need to say much. I mean, he always knocks it out of the park when he talks about gun control. Pat Wood, again, my friend, I'm biased. Pat and I have known each other since basically I moved up here in 1999. Again, he doesn't live in the area any longer, but he's done a great deal on technocracy, which is something that's kind of not only is where we are and where we're going, but it really started in the 30s. And I've interviewed him on my Mastermind series a couple times. I've read his book and I read his blog randomly. Let's see. Russell Gray, just a mention. He's from the Real Estate Guys and he held one of the panels. He's just a really great guy. And he has a very interesting way to leverage real estate in, I think, a rather prudent way. I may have him on my Mastermind. So enough said about that. Alex Newman, young guy, true speaker, really, really great. Let's see who else here. Benny Wills, who I met at Anarchapoco. He's basically theater trained and he does poetry he does a lot of things, but at this event in Anacapulco, he stands up and does these poems that really make you think. And, you know, being an actor, he really puts the emphasis where it's needed and the pauses where you really think, and on and on, and just powerful. You know, poems could be so powerful in his art. I know I'm talking about almost everybody, but it's really not true. I'm skipping a lot. Dr. Charles Lee, probably the only one where I teared up. This guy was held as a political prisoner in a Chinese prison,
okay,
tortured and crazy, just, you know, and he tells us about it. And he's got such a heart, he basically forgives him. And I just went up to him and just thanked him for his story, and just incredible. So I'm going to do some more research on him. I may actually want to interview him myself in the future. Let's see, where else can I go here? A couple more, and I'm done. Cynthia McKinney, if you don't know who she is, this Black woman has got more guts than probably most males that I know. And she was a legislator in Georgia and definitely speaks truth to power. And, of course, she's persona non grata, but she's still traveling the nation speaking the truth. Is one of the most outspoken whistleblowers that there are. She was left the Democratic Party in 2008 and talks about the left-right paradigm and how ridiculously phony it is. Mm-hmm. And last and certainly not least, because this is how the whole event started, and this is Jeanette Finnegan with her husband, Lavoy Finnegan. And Lavoy was the cowboy that stood up and told the truth about what was happening in his life. He was a neighbor of the Bundys and what was going on. And of course, what's so powerful about this story, there's so many things that are powerful. It's powerful to me, was that the young man that put together this film was basically a liberal that came to work for this company. And he bought the narrative that this guy is a white supremacist,
right-wing
addict, and a domestic terrorist. And, you know, all those labels, and bought into all of them. And then he's given the assignment of researching Lavoy Finnegan and what happened. What's the whole thing? And, of course, you watch the movie. Of course, before he shows the movie, he prefaces it with, you know, he learned that he's not a white supremacist. He's not a radical. He's not a domestic terrorist. He's a truth teller, and he's basically documented it on his YouTube channel that you know, he was only asking questions. He wasn't even saying this is the way it is. He says, look, let me read it to you. This is my understanding, and this is what's right. And I, you know, if we don't stand up for what's right, then who will? Kind of a thing. It was just very, very powerful. So that is the end of the Red Pill take. And there were many others. I didn't mention them all. But certainly, I would say, if you have the opportunity to go next year, you should. And if you don't have the opportunity to, you know, if you miss this one, I'm pretty certain that Ed puts together like a DVD package you could buy probably for a reasonable price. And you could basically go through the whole thing at your own leisure and, you know, listen to these people, because every one of them have a powerful message. I'd say one more. I don't remember her name. I'm scrolling through. It spoke about the problems in healthcare. Mm. And she has some solutions. A lot of people actually have some solutions. So I'll leave it there. Back to you.
And did they announce where the Red Pill Expo is going to be held next year?
No, they did not. Or if they did, I missed it.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. And thanks for that recap. I appreciate that. I wondered why G. Edward Griffin's been hard to get a hold of recently. Now I know he's been very busy, I'm sure. So if we could get on to viewers' questions, we've got several we'd like to throw your way. And the first one comes from a viewer with the nickname Yak Yak. It says, do you trade the gold-silver ratio? And if so, what ratio is your sell-over point?
Oh, very good. Well, yes, I do. And usually I do it in physical form, which means, you know, I take the pickup truck full of silver and take it down to the local coin dealer and come back with gold that I put into my glove box. Or conversely, gold in the glove box and come back with a truckload of silver. So the ratio usually, 72 is like the worst case. I always try to trade silver into gold if the ratio is higher than 72, and it's been up to 80 or even 82 here recently. And then where to trade back is really more difficult. I mean, I didn't catch the 35 that we saw when silver was accelerating versus gold in 2011, but I did get out, I think, in the 40 somewhere. I won't say 45, but in that area.
Yeah.
And you can look at a curve, you can look at, you know, do technical analysis. None of this stuff works perfectly, but it will give you an idea. But you also can, sentiment's a good one to go by. Sentiment means, you know, what's going, what's the chatter like on the internet? So if everyone's telling you that silver's going to 100, blah, 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 and I'm calling the top at 50, which I did, means that maybe you ought to not get too greedy. You know, when you start feeling greedy, that's a time to take a look. So I do. I don't do it all or nothing. It's like all my gold and the silver, sure, all my silver back in the gold. I don't do that. I take a portion of it that I'm content with. But it is a good way to build up your metals position without a lot of effort. So okay. I think I answered that. Of course, you could do it synthetically. You could do it with ETFs or futures or options or whatever, which I don't recommend to anybody, but you could do it synthetically. But I do it physically.
Okay. This one is from a viewer by the name of Deadly Wound. The United States debt clock has a silver price listed at $571. Why, when, how, and who the H believes the government won't stomp all over it if it shoots up? Too many industries will scream bankruptcy. I've been waiting 20 years for the true market value, and the only thing going up is therapy. Oh, you gotta appreciate the honesty. So I guess the question is who, when, why, how, and do we really believe the government won't stomp all over it if it does shoot up any semblance of fair price?
Well, great question. I mean, and this is not to sell a book. I mean, I do a whole chapter on the silver manipulation in the Silver Manifesto, and that's probably the best. If you have $30 and you're a silver, you know, you own any substantial amount of silver, you should probably buy the book. I would say, you know, who, what, when, where, why, up. You know, who the financial powers? I mean, is it one person? No. Is it even a smoke-filled back room? Probably not. It's just kind of an unknown that gold has to be suppressed to make the dollar look good, make the stock market look good. And since silver is a little sister of gold, it has to be suppressed as well, because you really couldn't have silver going to the moon and gold doing nothing. People really question why that is.
Right.
But, you know, so the why is to keep the paradigm in place, keep the paradigm paper paradigm working and keep the sleeping masses asleep. So that's the why. The who, I, you know, take your pick, take your banker de jure, take the authorities that manage, like the CFTC, the reigning powers there that change every so often, and they basically look the other way no matter what.
Yep, right.
No matter what evidence, even though we have, you know, we've been vindicated. It's been, you know, obviously it has been manipulated and admitted to and proven in court.
And some fines assessed, yeah.
Doesn't really change anything. So the who, the what is done through the paper markets, the why, you know, we touched on, and I guess what else am I missing?
So when will it ever be allowed to break? Well, it'll always get smashed back down.
People will get discouraged and they believe it can happen and continue forever and ever and ever. And all manipulations have come to an end. I think this one will as well. There's no reason to believe otherwise. And the only thing that has to happen is what's already occurred very briefly, which means what happened at the bottom of the 2008-09 financial crisis.
Yep.
And that's when silver was selling at a 30% premium because you basically couldn't get it. So most silver investors, a lot of them, at least in the past, used to buy low and sell high, or at least buy low. And so when silver hit that $9 level, there were a lot of people wanting to buy silver and basically couldn't find it in retail form. And I've been through this with Andy Scheckman and Miles Franklin and many others. So that was a precursor to what I think will happen again. What didn't happen is that silver didn't get a huge premium. So, David, what are you talking about? I'm talking about retail product where you go to a coin dealer and buy like 1 ounce rounds or government minted coins or 10 ounce bars or 100 ounce bars. Those got a 30% premium. But commercial bars with sitting in the COMEX, there was enough of those available for the demand at that time to fulfill all demand, which was, you know, $9 approximately per ounce. In fact, I bought three off the exchange. I took mini contracts and took delivery. And so I bought at $9, and I was thinking of pressing them out in some with 30% premium. But by the time I got them to my mint master buddy, the market had closed up and the spread wasn't that huge at all. It was normal spread. And I just thought I'd just keep them. So hopefully I answered that.
Yep.
All manipulations end. There's no reason to believe this one won't. And when this one does, I don't know what to say. I mean, because I can't really anticipate what will happen with the internet chatter and, you know, people. I mean, I don't know. I think it'll be so explosive that you will see like people that are in denial now, admitting, oh my goodness, it is true. People that will get a hold of their Congress critters or representatives and just call them up and vent for an hour screaming in the phone. The CFTC authorities will probably have to put on hoods and run for their cars. I don't know. But I think there could be a big backlash, because whenever you push that beach ball down under the water for so long and have hurt so many people, when it does finally surface and go to the proper level, I think there'll be a lot of anger. That's personally what I believe.
Your pickup truck versus the glove box analogy might come in handy on this next question by Valerie Robles. She asks, after a reset, when the price of silver increases and the time comes to use silver to buy other things,
and also fund it with both gold and silver, and use your debit card to debit out gold and silver if you choose to do so.
All right. We've got another one here from Wesley Segura. After the reset, how will the new currency be dispersed?
Beyond my pay grade, I really don't know. I imagine it would be through the banking system. You probably, first of all, everything, almost everything's digital anyway. I mean, so few people use cash. I like to use cash just for, one, the anonymity, and two, just to kind of have fun. Yeah. I mean, some people, they don't want to take cash.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's like, you know, you're proving your age or you're a dinosaur if you pull out cash.
Yeah, yeah.
But so basically, it'll be digital for the most part. I mean, you have, you know, 100,000 in the bank in U.S. funds, and then when the reset comes, now you have 10,000 or something along those lines. And will there be a new currency? And the answer is probably most likely. And so in that case, you would go to your friendly neighborhood bank, and there'll probably be some market makers out there, I don't know, I'm guessing, and just turn in your old $100 bills and get the new tens, and there'll be a cutoff. There always is. So they'll be like, by, you know, September 21st, 2022, you have until that date to change your old currency for the new currency. And of course, if you have a lot of currency, then there'll be a lot of people asking a lot of questions like, how did you get this? Where did you get this? Why do you have it? And all those questions that you really don't need to answer.
When I worked in a downtown office building in an engineering company, I had to pay a car insurance premium. I walked through the Skyway system and to the car insurance place that I was using, and offered cash to pay my premium, and they said, we can't take cash. This is way back in the 80s, and so it's been going on for some time, you know. And I thought, that's what else could he, you know, all they wanted was checks, that's it.
I'm surprised. I just want to digress further. I'm surprised, and maybe there has been, because I don't, you know, check the Federal Register and look at all the laws that, you know, all these cases. But I'm surprised, and maybe there has been one. A case hasn't been, because it's legal tender. It's for all
debts, public and private.
Yeah. So, you know, if you had a good lawyer, you go back there and you could sue them for disobeying the law, because they have to take it. And I know there's places that don't, and I don't argue with them. I kind of tease them, but I don't want to spend the time. And, you know, but I was in a similar situation recently at an airport with a rental car, and it's like, well, you can't pay, you know, unless you had a credit card, you could get out of there.
True.
So, well, I don't have a credit card. I'll pay. Well, we can't take cash.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that's
the law.
I know they're looking for is they want a deeper pocket to draw on as a security. So,
right.
We got another question here from Tony Blaylock, who says, and it's very short, but seems like we are living in a fascist country. Okay. You just came from the Red Pill Expo. You probably got your ears just burning with examples of that people might need to think about. Could you give us a couple that come to mind?
Well, they are. I mean, you know, there is, you know, a lot of people want to play word games. I don't think I will, but, you know, you could call it corporatism. I mean, basically government and corporations team up to rule over the people. And that's what we have. And you can call it whatever you want, but that's the real existence that happens. I mean, and this has been happening for a long time. I mean, I'm old enough to remember the movie Network. You can look it up on Netflix or your Google search engine or what have you, you know. And in that movie, Network, the lead in that movie said, you know, there is no, you know, USA and, you know, USSR and China, I forget the countries he names. There's only AT&T. you know, Monsanto, and he didn't use Monsanto, but you get the idea. There's only AT&T, IT&T, you know, Ma Bell, et cetera. That's all that exists of these corporations. There aren't really any countries. And that was way back. I forget how old that movie is. We're probably 30 years old, but he's making the point that we had a corporatocracy then, where the corporations and the government were in bed together, and they were setting the standards for how business was done to us, certainly not for us in a lot of cases.
This next one is very closely related to one you've already answered. So if we could just home in on the one core aspect of it. This is from Don Niespel. Hello, Mr. Morgan. He says, please describe, if you can, how metals can be used for purchase or barter during the upcoming financial fallout. How will price discovery accommodate use? Can metals' intrinsic value be acknowledged by people who are attaining or providing basic comforts? So how does a barter economy or a sort of this, you know, direct exchange economy, how is price discovery, how does it happen? How does it happen historically? What do you foresee?
Well, I'm going to digress to make the point and come back. So, you know, in a free market, a true free market economy, you know, you, Dunnigan, have that headset, you know, the iPhone headset that you're wearing, okay? And I offer you $50 for that. So to me, I would rather own that than own $50. And you would rather have $50 than own that.
Right.
So in that exchange, both parties are satisfied because we've made a contract. I said, will you take 50? Oh, yeah, I'd much rather have 50 than this. So you hand it to me.
Yep.
I, you know, corny example, but you could use it for anything you want to talk about. So when it comes to what's the fair value of silver, it's going to be determined in the market in that way. There could be an official price. The paper paradigm may break down. So what happens on the street is what's going to happen, which means that someone's going to be more likely to take, you know, 2 ounces of silver for a bushel of potatoes than someone that wouldn't. So the person that makes that exchange wants that 2 ounces more than they want the potatoes. It's really that simple. Give me some feedback. Did I answer the question?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm just trying to think about, like, nowadays people use Craigslist or they go to garage sales or whatever, and there's always a discussion about price, and that discussion doesn't have to be limited to fiat currency. So,
right, it has to do, really. I mean, it can be whatever you want. I mean, people are people, but. You know, I think over time, depending on how this unravels, how the reset looks, et cetera, you know, people might start to think more and more in terms of ounces rather than in terms of what's the fiat equivalent.
Yeah.
That's really what you want to think of, but people don't because you've been trained. Remember, dollar is a weight of silver.
That's right. As we
did that interview, you know, a few weeks back.
Yeah, that was very popular with their viewers. And we even brought it back as an encore when we were on vacation recently. Yep, that's absolutely right. We keep being thought of, we've been taught to use abstractions of an abstraction of abstraction. It occurred to me when we went to a casino recently when father-in-law was visiting. He really loves casinos, and we go along just to be with him. And you thought, I remember when I was younger and I went to the first casino, you'd always hear this clink, 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 clink. It was a physical coins hitting the pan under the machines from a payout. They wanted everybody to hear it to make people feel that there's a lot of action going on here. But at least it was physical coins at that time. I'm sure they were just tokens or whatever they were, but you had exchange.
Well, one time here, there were a lot.
At one time in the old cowboy days,
dollars in
they were
Vegas.
Hitting. Yeah,
and there was one casino. I forget the name of it, and I digress again. Sorry to steal the.
No, that's this is. I think.
But there was one casino that had a silver dollar slot machine, and you had to play with silver dollars, obviously. And I went in there, and it was on display only. Couldn't use it, and I'm sure that's long gone. This is years and years and years ago. There was a day when you were getting, you know, silver out of those machines.
And that being the referent that the analogy now that we're supposed to, this symbolic extraction, is there was a coins in the pan. Now the coins don't hit the pan anymore. Now they have an electronic speaker that makes the sound of coins hitting the pan, and all you get is these little electronic tokens, or they're not even tokens, they're just points on the screen, and then you cash out a paper token, so then you can walk over to the cashier because you really want to cash out, you really want to get your money now. So what do you get? You get some other electronic tokens put back onto your account, or they'll give you some of these fiat nothings. And it's just like, I sit there walking around, and yet, what's the color scheme? What's the decor of the entire place? Every sign, every picture, every the user interface of every one of the machines, it's all gold, gold, gold. So we're trying to make this analogy to something that's no longer present there in any form whatsoever, but it's kind of interesting. Any final thoughts before we let you go, David, having just come off the Red Pill Expo and heading back to your life of creating the Morgan Report for people, but any final words of wisdom that people should take with them to get them through this summer?
Oh, not really. I mean, the summer's been a dull, summer. And I think everyone, including yours truly, is pretty burnt out on the market action in the metals. But, never sell a quiet market. I mean, this thing could erupt tomorrow. I doubt it. I think this year will end better than we're seeing right now price-wise. But just know that if you take the right amount and the right attitude, then you should be fine. In other words, it's a hedge position for the most part for most people. So you take, 10% or whatever's the right amount for you. And, I would say forget about it, but you don't worry about it, because the problem is a lot of people catch on the gold and silver story. The truth resonates with them, and they jump in with everything. And that's the wrong approach for, in my view, for almost anything in life. Really kind of put your toe in. You don't learn to swim. Very few of us learn to swim by being thrown in the deep end. That does happen, but that's an analogy for panic. If you're thrown in the deep end, you usually panic. So if you jump in the gold market with everything you've got at the wrong time, then you get into a panic mode. Whereas if you ease in and learn the strokes and learn to float and all that stuff, you're going to have a lot better experience. So I'll use that analogy, because I say the number one complaint I get throughout these years is that, I cause someone to buy too much, and I don't. In fact, if you actually study what I've said, then I've never said that. In fact, I went on the public domain to make sure that everyone knew, had the ability to get the 10 rules of silver investing. I said 10% is enough. I changed it to 20, but that's the maximum amount. So, these people that hear me or somebody else and they get all excited, it's tough. It's tough. I understand it, but I think manipulation, I'm pretty certain it will end. I think we have our day. One thing to remember is when our day comes, it's really not going to be so much about financial betterment. It's going to be about financial wherewithal, which means you haven't lost very much. And sure, you in financial terms probably have gained, but the world is going to look much different. And because of that, it's kind of behooving on you that the old expression, and Dunnigan, you can maybe help me, but with great wealth or whatever comes great responsibility. So you really want to think about that ahead of time, because if all of a sudden you're the richest kid in, two city blocks, well, good for you, but what are you going to do with it? Because the world isn't going to be a real happy place. It's not going to be like in 1980 where you can buy the new house or houses and the yacht and the cars and the this and the that. It's going to be a different. So think about that, because it's going to be important with how you as a human being take on that responsibility. So I'll leave it at that.
Well, we appreciate that, David. And as always, thank you for joining us on Reluctant Preppers. And for people who want to find out more of your work, they can go to themorganreport.com and see what you offer there.
Yeah, just get on the free list. We're trying to build up the free list, so I'll appeal to you. I mean, people wrote in and asked me questions, and it's my day and my time, and I'm happy to do it. But if you could do me a favor in return, and I seldom ask this, but just take, themorganreport.com and send it out on your email list, and just get people on our free letter. I do a financial wrap-up every weekend and send it out. So it's also on my blog and on my podcast. And that's, 15 minutes that I try to just get right to it and tell you the important financial news of the week. And I always end with a comment on gold and silver. So that would be helpful to me. And then when you do go there, if you haven't been there before, you do get an 11-page report that we're constantly updating called Riches and Resources.
Well, David, thank you for joining us. And just appreciate your giving us the insight into the Red Pill Expo, the digest of that as well. And people will look into that and see what we can do in terms of providing people links to getting the aftermarket media that may come out of that. So thanks again.
My pleasure. Thank you.
This is the Morgan Report with David Morgan. For the latest in precious metals investing, gold, silver, the economy, and more, go to themorganreport.com.